You're listening to episode 115 of the Birthworker podcast. Today on the podcast, I am doing an interview with actually one of my students. Claire Smith is a hypnobirthing teacher. She is from the UK. She's from Scotland. And she was in my very first round of our doula training program after she was actually already a hypnobirthing teacher, which is really cool. So today on the podcast, we're actually going to be talking about how to use hypnobirth techniques with your doula clients to help them have better birth experiences. So without any further ado, let's just jump right into it. If you want to reach out to Claire, I'm going to put all of her links in the show notes, but let's hit play on the episode. Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birthworker podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. How did you first become interested in hypnobirthing? Where did you first even hear about hypnobirthing? And what made you want to go down that rabbit hole?
So I actually my daughter is 4 and a half, but I first heard about hypnobirthing when my best friend was pregnant with her first. So that was 9 and a half years ago, because she was one of these people who's like, absolutely, she was terrified of birth. She just couldn't see, was delighted to be pregnant and really looking forward to this baby arriving, but she was just terrified. And I very clearly remember seeing that complete transformation for her. She had a really, really positive experience with her first baby, went on to have what she would describe as half an orgasm as she gave birth to her son at home. And I think seeing that transformation in her going from being so terrified to having such an incredibly positive aspect or such an incredibly positive way of thinking about birth and a real belief and confidence in herself. So that was where I'd like seen hypnobirthing do a bit of work during pregnancy and shifting mindset. And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, read loads about the nervous system, supporting myself in birth, just felt really prepared. But I think her experience of hypnobirthing had already done so much work for me that I didn't ever feel when I was pregnant any kind of like fear or anxiety. I just remembered how good she felt and how positive she was going into it. And I thought, well, that's got to be that this is a real thing. This hypnobirthing thing is really something. And I was also one of those people that thought, I don't want to be hypnotized. That's not a thing I want. And actually, when I realized how much more there is to it than hypnosis, again, and then learning the science, that just kind of all cemented it in my brain and my body for my experience. And I used to plan and run weddings with my husband. We've got an event catering company here. And during COVID, I was due to be going back from my mat leave, but then there were no weddings happening in COVID. So I just took that as my opportunity to do some real training in hypnobirthing. That was when I did my doula training as well. And it's just kind of evolved from there.
I am so excited to have this conversation. Would you just dive in a little bit to what hypnobirthing is, if someone hasn't heard of it, and you know what hypnosis is, and also almost touch on the fact, and you kind of did already, where hypnobirthing is not like just something that you only do during your labor. You said it yourself. It's something that you almost didn't even have to work so hard at because the work was already done throughout the rest of your life. So I'm excited to hear a little bit more about that too.
Totally. So many people are put off by the name hypnobirthing because they think it's all about hypnosis. And hypnosis is one of the hypnobirthing tools, but it's not the be-all and end-all. And certainly when I use hypnobirthing to prepare for my birth with my daughter, I didn't use any kind of hypnosis. I used a few like guided relaxation tracks. I really resonated with affirmations, so I used those, but I didn't use any kind of like traditional hypnobirthing tracks, which are taking you into like a kind of state of hypnosis. It is absolutely possible to use hypnobirthing and not use the hypnosis aspect of it at all. I think kind of traditional hypnobirthing's evolved, and I'll talk a bit about like how my perspective on it now, but I think traditionally people think of hypnobirthing as unmedicated birth, silent, headphones on, eye mask on, in the zone, and breathing your baby out. And I think when we only think about that as a hypnobirth, I think it just sets people up for failure and disappointment, because actually you can use hypnobirthing techniques and bloody roar your baby out, you know? You can use hypnobirthing techniques and have an epidural. You can use hypnobirthing techniques and have a cesarean. Hypnobirthing is, like, in a nutshell, I kind of said it to you before we started recording, like, it's like sports psychology for birth. It's getting your brain and your body on the same page to set you up for success. And success means, in birth, means different things to different people. When I'm working with clients, I talk to them about aspiring to a birth that sets them up for a really positive postnatal experience with their babies. And that looks different to everybody. And this, when we have that stereotypical ideal of hypnobirthing as silent, unmedicated, at home, in a pool, only using breathing techniques, not only does it set people up for disappointment, but it is just not a physical possibility for everyone to be able to have that birth, whether that's to do with themselves or the system that they're birthing within. That is just not physically possible for people. So when I work with people now, what I want them to do is find a place that they can be calm and regulated and feel good in their birth and be able to go with the flow, but not in the traditional go with the flow way. I mean, like, go with the flow of what is happening in the moment, but be prepared for those eventualities. Does that make sense? I feel like I've waffled and gone on a bit of a tangent.
No, I love it. I love it. Dive in a little bit more to the sports psychology analogy, because I think that makes it like click for a lot of people.
Yeah, so it's about, sorry, you can hear our neighbor's dog barking. the sports psychology side of things, it's basically recognizing the impact that your nervous system is going to have on your performance. And whether your performance in sport, your performance in birth, I think those things are quite interlinked, because when we are activated, I'm going to just talk about birth just now. When we're activated in the sense of like being in that fight or flight mode, we've got adrenaline running through our bodies. And when our brains are producing adrenaline, they're not focusing on producing oxytocin. And that is something that all doulas will know is super important for birth. We want as much oxytocin as possible. But when our bodies are activated, stressed out, they're not producing that oxytocin. They're producing adrenaline, they're producing cortisol. And not only does that emotionally make us feel stressed out, it makes our bodies unable to work as well as they could normally. So when I talk about like it being a bit like sports psychology, we want to just try and avoid that adrenaline peak in labor through avoiding things like fear, being as calm as possible. And I think people think of calm as being like zen. When I talk about calm, I just mean I don't want your nervous system activated. Like, I've had clients that are totally calm who are playing with their kids, who are singing and dancing with their pals. Or calm could be like in the zone, in a birth pool. Like, calm looks different for everyone. When I say calm, I don't mean that, yeah, just that you're like totally relaxed and chilling out. I just mean that your nervous system isn't activated, that you can be working in the best way possible at that point.
Okay, I love this, because I've never talked about my own birth experience like this, but my birth experience, it really literally quite literally only had 1 minute where my nervous system was activated and I had that fear. And then I got into the birth pool and then it literally did not happen again for the entire labor. Like I didn't ever have fear. I didn't think I couldn't do it. I didn't think it was too much. It was quite amazing birth experience. But even though my nervous system was totally calm, I wasn't quiet, right? I said some curse words. I was moaning and roaring with every single contraction, which is so funny because in my brain, I was calm. In my brain, I was good. And so actually one of the first words after my baby was born is I looked at just everyone in the room and I said, you guys, that wasn't as hard as it looked. And what I meant was that them looking at me probably thought, oh God, like this is really hard because I was vocal and you know, some curse words came out. But in my brain, my nervous system was totally chill. And so it's so funny. It's like inside I was calm, even though outside didn't seem that way.
That's just like brought up what I think is one of the most important conversations that I have with people's birth partners antenatally, is just that I think the birth partners need to be fully trusting in their partner laboring to tell them when it's getting too much. Because like you said, from externally, it can look crazy, but you don't know what's going on inside that person's head. But what you do by saying, are you okay? Do you need the gas and air? Do you need an epidural? What can I do for you? What you do is then plant seeds of doubt in that person's head. And they think, oh my God, I can't do this. They don't think I can do this. I must look like I'm suffering. I must look like this is really hard. I thought I had this. I thought I was bossing this, but they think I'm not doing so well. And that's where, again, like where this nervous system activation can then come in. Because a birth partner thinks that they think they're doing a great job. They're like, I'm a good guy. I'm a good wife. I'm a good mom. I can step in here. I can see they're struggling. But actually, so much of birth is internal that what you can end up doing is getting in that person's way. Maybe not. I was going to say sabotaging their birth. That's maybe a bit harsh. But you do plant those seeds of doubt, and that can then make that person panic. And what that does then is it hits pause on oxytocin. It hits go on adrenaline. It brings them back into the room. And like, when oxytocin is running high in our bodies, we've got endorphins running high in our bodies as well. I'm preaching to the converted here, but taking you into that kind of like trance where you get a lot of relief and comfort from just being out of the room. But when you're then brought back into the room, all of a sudden your contractions feel longer, they feel harder. And I think like the hormone side of hypnobirthing is one of my absolute favorite things to dive into, because it's so complicated, but then it's so simple as well. Like when you think, actually, we just need oxytocin to be high. What do we need for that? We need to feel safe. We need to feel supported. But what these hormones are doing in our bodies is so intricate and such an amazing dance that if we don't know about that, it can be very difficult to support it. And that's why I think like birth partners knowing and understanding about that is just so important, because it means that they can sit back, they can put a hand on your back, they can let you know that they're there, that they're supporting you, that they believe in you without interrupting you, without speaking to you. Like, I think a hand on the back or a hand on the back of the neck is just an amazing tool, and it's so simple.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. That's actually one of the things that I love about the way that I support birth too. And this is, everyone wants a different type of doula, right? Like there's not one perfect type of doula, but the way that I doula is how I would really want someone to doula for me. And that's, it's almost like in the States, we have this thing where it's like, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. So the assumption is that everybody is innocent until they go through like the law process and they're proven guilty. So my assumption is that my clients are totally fine, totally handling it, calm nervous system. That's my assumption until they tell me otherwise. And I love that. I love touching on the point where it's like, if we're assuming that they're not okay when they haven't actually told us that, that can absolutely get in the way of oxytocin and a calm birth. So yes. Yeah. 10 out of 10. I love it.
Yeah. I want to start. On you go.
Go ahead. No, you're totally fine. Finish.
I was just going to say, I think that's one of the most important conversations that I have with my clients antenatally, is just that I trust you to tell me when you need me. I trust you to tell me when you need support. And that can be like, we'll talk about a safe word sometimes, or like a touch, like a kind of touch that they'll give me, so that we don't need to have a full conversation. I don't need them to be like, oh, I'm feeling like this, I'm feeling like that, so I need you to do X, Y, Z. They can just hold my hand in a specific way, or say a word, or give me the look, and then I'll step in. And I want them to know that I trust them completely to do that. And I think witnessing that conversation, being a part of that conversation, is so important for birth partners, particularly if it's a male birth partner, if it's a husband or a boyfriend, because without going into the whole patriarchy thing, Kylie, guys have this like savior complex. Is that what I mean? They want to step in, they want to help, they want to be doing things. And so often, actually, birth partners just need someone to be like, they're good. They are doing their thing. You can just sit there. And I think giving them permission to do that until they're asked to do something is a really powerful conversation to have.
Okay, I love this so much. I have a million questions about how doulas can start incorporating this kind of hypnobirth theory into their practice. My first question is, does someone who wants to start incorporating this kind of thing need to get certified by a certain organization?
I think you know that. that's not, absolutely not what I think at all. You could definitely do a training. I every so often do like a 3-hour kind of like workshop on working with doulas and other, actually like yoga teachers quite often are interested in it as well, because just learning about the nervous system, it's just good to understand the theory and the science behind it. But no, you definitely don't need, hypnobirthing's unregulated, like doulas are unregulated. I think what is really good for doulas is loads of the tools are things other than like using tracks and things, but a lot of hypnobirthing tools are things that doulas will use already. But what I think is really great for people to have as well is a really strong understanding and knowledge of the science behind that, so that they can back it up. Like if someone says, oh, well, why do affirmations matter? Like why does being calm matter? Because, and quite often people don't ask that, because they look at the birth videos and they think, oh yeah, that does look nice. Fairy lights up. Yeah, that looks nice. You know, not interrupting me. Yeah, that looks nice. Being in the pool. Yeah, that looks nice. And all of these things are nice, but it's understanding why the nice things make a difference. Like, what is the physical impact on your birth that these lovely emotional things have? And I think that that theory, the science behind that, really digging down into the nervous system, how that all impacts on birth, that's where I think it's important, because it just makes you... I think it helps your clients really trust in what you're saying when you can say, this is all evidence-based. Like it's to do with, for affirmations, for example, it's to do with the reticular activating system of your brain. It's because the law of repetition, when we repeat things to ourselves, it helps ingrain that message in our brain. Why? And going through that with them, and it just helps them think, oh, this is actually legit. It's not a load of nonsense. Because sometimes, especially with the name hypnobirthing, makes it sound, you know, a lot of people don't have trust or belief in things that are woo-woo. And there's nothing wrong with anything being woo-woo. I think it's great. I love myself a bit of that. But it's not for everyone. So when you can really get down to the nitty-gritty and the science with them, you get more people on board. And I think it helps. For me, certainly, I think when I can explain things in that way from a business perspective, I think it gets me more clients.
Okay, this is interesting. I'm curious, how do you go about incorporating, like really logistically, how do you incorporate the hypnobirthing stuff and hypnobirthing coaching or classes with your doula support? So are you doing like extra prenatals where you're doing like classes specifically on hypnobirthing? How does it actually look when you put it all together?
So like my first, I'll do like three long antenatal sessions with people generally. And the very first conversation that I have with clients is, what are your expectations of birth? And where is your head currently at? What's your mindset saying? And from that, I'll then, obviously at the back of that, it'll be like, oh, where do you want to get to? Like if your expectations out of birth are that it's going to be at home with you feeling really good, but you're absolutely shit scared of birth, how do we link those two things together? And that's usually where I will then bring in the hypnobirthing. Talking about the importance of a positive mindset. We talk a lot about something in hypnobirthing called the fear, tension, pain cycle. I don't know if you've come across that before. So I'll explain that to them. One of the easiest ways to not be afraid is to feel good about something, to have confidence in it. So then I'll talk about building a positive mindset. What are different tools that we can use to do that? And kind of give them a bit of homework, but without it being homework, you know, just say, why don't you try out a few of these things? Like hypnobirthing tracks, for example, can be really good for just inputting positive messaging about birth, because so much of what we see is that birth is dramatic and scary and a bit of a shit show and you need a doctor to help you. And I think when you start encouraging them to input more positive messaging, like I was reading an article recently that said for every negative in our brain, it takes three positive stories to outweigh that one negative, which I just thought was fascinating. And, you know, people can quite often be scathing about reading things like positive birth stories and only inputting positive messaging. But if you curate the information that you're choosing to pull in and you're choosing to only pull in positive messaging, the world is still going to be throwing negative stuff at you. So I have totally forgotten what the question was. I've gone off on a tangent.
No. I love that. You know, I absolutely love what you're saying, because towards the end of my own my pregnancy and my journey, I listened to the bad birth stories too, but I had gotten to a point where it was just like, I could find the beauty in all of the stories, and I wasn't putting, and you know this because you've been through our Birthworker Academy, so you understand like my mindset when it comes to labeling something as good or bad, like that is completely fake, completely made up. It's not seeing the big picture. And so I refused to see a quote unquote bad story, bad birth story or negative birth story or bad outcome as quote unquote bad. Yeah. And I refused actually to see a good birth story as quote unquote good. And I just took away the me projecting my emotions or my, you know, defining it as good or bad. I took all of that away and just soaked up all of the birth stories. And like I said, I had a phenomenal birth that was just fantastic. And in case anyone's listening to this and is like, well, that's great for you, Kylie, you had a great birth. Like, wait till you have a bad experience. I went on to earlier this year have an ectopic pregnancy rupture, emergency surgery within like an hour of calling the ambulance. So I've had like that bad story too. And it's the exact same thing. Like my definition of what had happened to me is still not bad. And so I love everything we're talking about. I also like love how this is not just something that we use for birth. This is not just, like you said, some woo-woo thing that someone invented for birth. It's like, we can use this in every aspect of our lives. Claire, I'm taking a course right now about time, and it's about time management, but the very first modules in it are about rewiring our brain. Because if we're constantly telling ourselves, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, I don't have enough time, there's too much on my to-do list, if we tell ourselves that, that's how we're experiencing life. But we could have the exact same amount of things on our to-do list, and we could tell ourselves, I'm not overwhelmed. I refuse to be overwhelmed. Or I have exactly the amount of time for what needs to get done. And if you're just shifting the way that you think about your experience with time, everything changes. And so, yeah, this is birth. This is time. This is home life. This is marriage. This is sports. It's like, it's both science. It's science.
It's so funny that you say that, Kylie, because my daughter is, and people will hate me for saying this, but she's a sleeper. She needs woken up in the morning. And it means that quite often when she's going to nursery during the day, I always find that we're rushing and I get so stressed and we get into the car and I'm like, ugh. So last week we had a really stressful morning and this week I was just like, nah, I'm not rushing anymore. I'm just not doing it. We're just going to go at the pace and we're just going to have a nice morning. Been bliss. We get out the door faster. Because I'm not like rushing around and spilling my coffee and like, oh, where's her shoe? Because when, and this is totally related to birth, because when you're in that activated state, your brain is actually not working as well as it normally is. And it's not an enjoyable emotional experience. It's not actually an optimal way to run your body either. So yeah, we've had three nursery days this week and not rushing. And it's been so nice.
I love it. And it's like nothing external changed first. It's like you changed internally, but then you stopped spilling your coffee. You got out of the house earlier. So it's like the internal change happened first. And then the amazing gifts came after that.
Oh, yeah, so totally. Good. It's so good.
I love, one of my favorite things to talk about, and I actually learned this, oh my gosh, I just made this connection. I learned this from someone who lives in London, who is a hypnotherapist. His name is Chris. He was in one of my accountability pods when I started my business. I joined an accountability pod. And he explained to me how people going through birth, let's just broadly say that like birth is the same experience. Like your cervix opens, a baby comes out. Like it's the same like physical body experience for the majority of people. And some people have amazing birth experience and some people have horrible birth experiences. And then he goes on to say, Kylie, do you like riding roller coasters or not? And I was like, you know what? Like, not really. Like, I just really don't like roller coasters. And he's like, well, the person next to you absolutely loves them. And guess what? You're both on the exact same roller coaster. The one person loves it. It's their favorite day of the year. You hate it. You get sick. You don't enjoy it. You get scared. But the activity you're doing is exactly the same. So he goes, what's the difference there?
And whoa, I love
like
that.
Our relationship. Yeah, like our relationship to the activity or our thoughts about what's happening to us. So if you could, if you know that someone else is going through the exact same experience and has an amazing time, you know that that's available for you too. And I used that for my birth, but I also used that for my ectopic pregnancy, where it's like, there are people who go through this and have fine experiences and good experiences. I want that to be mine. Like, let me do that instead. And we can do the exact same with birth. And so, yeah, it's wow. I just want to give birth again so I can like experience, so I can experience this firsthand, because we can talk about it all we want, right? But until you experience it or watch someone experience it, it's a little bit like, it does feel a little bit woo-woo, like until you actually see it happening in front of your eyes.
Yeah. I would say like, so I taught hypnobirthing for probably 6 months before I had my first doula client. And my hypnobirthing teaching really changed after supporting my first birth. Yeah, probably my very first birth. Everything just changed, because I think that was a birth where everything that was in the plan A, like the water birth at home, didn't happen. We ended up having an induction in the hospital, and it was literally like every tool in the toolbox was used. And there was a lot of like really working with my client on her emotions. And actually, yeah, that really impacted on my teaching, because it's something, and I wouldn't say it maybe necessarily impacted the pregnant people as much as it would have impacted the way I spoke to their partners. It's a totally different thing to talk about versus do.
I'm curious if you have separate offers for doula support and hypnobirthing, or if you combine them?
So I do hypnobirthing separately as well. So when I'm working with my doula clients, kind of the same with other doulas, I'm sure, like my offer is different with every client that I work with because everyone's got different things that they want to focus on. And then I also run like what I call it total birth prep, which is a 5-week hypnobirthing course, but it's like a full comprehensive antenatal education. And I do that in person with people in Edinburgh, but I do it online as well. So I've actually had a few couples from the States this year, which has been really cool. So that is when I talk about my hypnobirthing teaching as like a full antenatal education, that's what it is. Like, we look at exactly how birth works. We look at the science behind hypnobirthing, which is really, it really is just how your body works, how your nervous system works, the impact of your mindset, the impact of fear, and then how we can build a really strong, confident, positive mindset so that those things don't derail you. Because hypnobirthing is not about saying your nervous system must never be activated during birth. You must get rid of all fear. And I think sometimes that can scare people, like, oh my God, I've got all this work to do, all this fear to get rid of. It's to just try and dial it down so that your body has the best chance possible to work as it should. But then also to help you recognize when you are getting a bit stressed and for you and your birth partner to have tools to get you back on track so that it doesn't need to take over the rest of your birth. It can be like, oh, I'm feeling a bit panicked right now. This is getting a bit scary. And your birth partner comes in with like, cool, okay. They chat to you. They maybe give you a drink of water. They sort your breathing out. Sorry, I've got my 4-year-old. So yeah, I work with people like that antenatally. And then obviously with my doula support, I'll work with them antenatally, go to their birth, and then do a little bit of postnatal if they want to. But it kind of varies from person to person. And in terms of the hypnobirthing, I think, like I said, I think with my doula clients, because I am going to be there at their birth, actually a lot of it is just kind of like explaining why the nice things matter, how that can impact on their birth, just so that they are aware of it. But then I'm the one, I can come in and like make sure that the environment's dim, by because even if you know, it's so simple, but you say to people, you know, like dim environment, fairy lights, or just turn the lights off in your hospital room. The number of times I still go to meet people and if they're already in the hospital, I still get in there and the first thing I do is flick the switch off, because it's totally different when you're in it. And I think that's where having a doula, you've got somebody, like my eyes are on keeping the environment supportive of their muscles to birth and in, like supportive of their birth hormones. Like those are my two things that I'm looking at all the time. And those are a lot of those tools, like I said, those will be things that doulas do anyway. But I think when you really understand why it matters, when you really understand how the hormones all come together and how easily they can be disrupted, I think that's just it just like amps up how powerful it is.
Do you think there's still a good amount of pregnant people out there who say, I don't want to do the hypnobirthing, I'm not into the hypnosis, or
100%? And yeah, you know,
it's a misconception.
It's so funny that you say that, and I don't think they'll listen to this podcast. So my brother-in-law and his girlfriend are currently expecting, and I was like, for your baby present, I want to pay for your birth prep, like this is what I want to get you guys. And they were very sweet and gracious and like turned me down with like a few different reasons that I couldn't argue. But then after a few beers, my brother-in-law said to my husband, it just doesn't really matter though, does it? Like people have babies all the time. Like we'll just go to hospital and we'll just have the baby. Like we don't need to do a class to learn that, do we? No, we don't need to do that. And I think that's like, I wax lyrical about birth all the fucking time, you know? And I think that's people who see what I do. And I mean, they obviously just think I'm some kind of like birth witch, but That's an okay. I'm okay with that. But I think if that's somebody who's so close to me and this is what I do as a job and they still have that mindset, there must be a million more who just think, I don't need to learn. I don't need to learn how to do that. And I do think really sadly, it takes for people to have a really shit experience to then be like, fuck, we were so unprepared. Why did we not make any effort? And, you know, I'm sure it's the same in the States as well, like cost of living crisis, like things are getting expensive. People think, well, I'm just not going to spend that money on birth prep. I'm going to spend it on nappies and baby clothes and or like a nice maternity dress for my baby shower or a baby moon or whatever. And then after birth, people are like, fuck, I had that one birth. And actually, your birth sets you up for postnatally. If, you know, you're grieving and disappointed about your birth in the early days with your baby, it takes over. Like you, not for everyone, but I've worked with people in second or third pregnancies who are just like, I missed my baby's first weeks, my baby's first months, because I was just so caught up in what happened. And that's like, that's not what we want for anybody. And I'm not saying like hypnobirthing definitely doesn't guarantee you a positive experience. I'm not saying that at all, but not preparing at all, it's really not a great idea. And hypnobirthing is just one of the ways that you can prepare. I think just like understanding how birth works, knowledge about birth, that for me is like the one of the number one tools of hypnobirthing is just knowledge and understanding how birth works. And that doesn't need to be something that you do a course. That can be something that you learn yourself by reading books, listening to podcasts, watching videos, like doing an online course, whatever. You don't need to use hypnobirthing tools, but I do think having an understanding of your nervous system, how your brain gets involved in birth, how your brain can make birth great, or how your brain can like get in the way. I think that's really, really important.
If someone is listening to this and they're like, okay, I'm sold. Like I need to go down the rabbit hole. I need to learn more about like the nervous system and the connection between brain and birth experience and body and all of that. What are a couple of resources that you would send people to? Do you have a favorite podcast or YouTube channel or course that they could go take?
Specifically for hypnobirthing. So pregnant people, if they're listening, I think just there's the group that I trained with who are called the Birth Uprising. They're kind of like no fluff hypnobirthing. They're like a bit sweaty, a bit gobby, but it's all very much rooted in the science, and that was why I loved them. Not that there's anything wrong with things being fluffy or flowery, but I think quite often when you're looking at hypnobirthing courses, it's very like rooted in this idea of the, and this, I'm not in any way slating this, it just wasn't for me. This idea of like the divine feminine, maybe a little bit witchy. There's that kind of aspect to it. And that's not what Jade and Alex that run the Birth Uprising are like. It's very much like, this is the science. These are the different tools. This is how they work in your brain. And I love that. So they're called the Birth Uprising. And then I do think a lot of it is figuring out what your own priorities are and then learning as much as you can about that. That is a really powerful way to like boost your mindset, is just to think, right, well, what is important to me here? And then find out about those things. Don't think breastfeeding is really like breastfeeding straight away is super important to me, but then don't learn about breastfeeding before you have your baby. Like learn about the things that are important to you, because it will just empower you with information, and it will mean that you can ask for help better. Like if you are asking for help, but you don't have a fucking clue about anything. It's the same with like pain relief, I guess, when you're in labor as well. If you don't learn about any kind of different pain relief and then you want something in labor, you're a bit like, oh, I don't know, what can I have? Whereas if you know that you definitely don't want opiates, you'd rather go straight for an epidural, you can just kind of say that. Like, I'm not interested in XYZ for ABC reason. I want to go straight for this. And then I obviously have a podcast as well. I say obviously. Maybe that's not obvious. I've got a podcast called the HypnoWhat Podcast. And it basically, like, from the beginning episodes, breaks hypnobirthing down. I try to be as inclusive and positive as possible. I like to be like people's birth cheerleader. So that's the kind of vibe you can expect there. Like, that's preparing for any kind of birth. And I'm also, I don't know if I said this before, I'm going to be running a hypnobirthing for doulas workshop at the end of October, which is cool.
Amazing.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's going to be like afternoon. It'll be afternoon for me in Edinburgh. But like morning, I guess, if you're in the States. So that's going to be like 3 hours. I'm going through exactly what we've talked about, the proper science of what is going on in your nervous system, what is optimal and what's getting in the way. So we talk about like being in what's called like a ventrovagal state, which is where everything in your body is running optimally, your hormones are in balance. That is where we want to be during birth. But we talk about fight or flight because it's likely that you'll end up in a fight or flight state. So we talk about what kind of things can trigger that, what that looks like in clients and how to support them to get back out of it. And then we talk about like something that's really actually very important in birth is going into a state called fawn. Have you heard of that? So it's like where you're not in like a full blown activated state like you would be in fight or flight, but you're not in that safe and social state where everything's running optimally. You are a bit activated, people pleasing mode. And people talk about it as like white coat syndrome. So where your doctor comes in and you think, oh, this person knows better than me, so I don't want to get in the way here. I'm going to be a good girl and I'm just going to say yes, 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 yes. And so often, like, that's what leads to people feeling shitty about their births, because they're like, why did I say yes? I didn't want that. Like, I knew that wasn't right. So that, I think that's a really, really good one for doulas to be aware of as well, because, you know, we're not there to advise our clients, tell them what's right or wrong, but we also want to be aware of when our clients are going down a path that they really don't want to be. So I think fawn is a really good response to be aware of. So yeah, we go through all that. And then kind of just like go through some discussions that are good to have about hypnobirthing with clients antenatally, tools that you can use with clients antenatally, but then also tools that you can use with them in labor. And like I said, kind of recognizing those different states and how to support our clients through it. So that's going to be cool. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Shoot me over the link to all of those things, your podcast, your hypnobirthing for doulas course. I'm going to put them in the show notes so people can just literally go to the show notes and go click over. Your website is birthingparentsclub.com. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And then same on Instagram, birthingparentsclub. Same so on Instagram. Anyone who's listening, yeah, if you want to just nerd out with other nerds like us or like Claire, go check her out on Instagram. And thank you so much for being here and sharing your passion. I think it's definitely going to light people's fire. And if they're anything like me, they definitely want to incorporate this in their services and just go down that rabbit hole. So thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in today to the podcast. So happy that you're here. Hey, if this is the first time you're listening to the show, don't forget to hit the rating and review button and leave me a review. And after you do that, don't forget to also take a screenshot and upload it to birthworker.com/review so I can send you a little goodie bag straight to your mailbox. Before you go, I just wanted to mention, if you are interested in becoming a doula, you have to check out the course that Claire took. It's called Birthworker Academy. It is our doula training program. It now includes 12 months of community and mentorship, which is so funny because actually when Claire took the program a couple years ago, it only included 3 months. But I've just realized over time that you need more support, and I want to give you more support and more mentorship to really help you through all of the struggles of that first year starting your doula business. So if you want to be a doula, or if you already did a doula training program and you left it still pretty clueless on how to support birth or grow your doula business, go to birthworker.com/academy to check out all of the details. And I hope to see you inside of our community very soon. All right, y'all. I'll see you back here on Friday.